From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Very good morning, Mike.
Well, we've got a bit to think about, haven't we? Because the markets have been closed while all this is going on, and we've had the job numbers as well.
Mike, it's like all I can think about here is like a Shakespearean drama unfolding in front of us, isn't it? I mean, what else has 2020 got in store for us? We've got this Shakespearean, we've got this dichotomy of good versus evil, fate, fortune. Is there a tragic hero in the middle here? Are all these events somehow inevitable? I mean, look, anyway, okay. That was my musings. We'll park those musings to one side, shall we, and we'll talk about Friday. The Friday announcement that President Trump had tested positive coronavirus came at the same time as the latest read on US employment market. So this is the non-farm payrolls report for September. So non-farm payrolls had expected to print at approximately 800,000. So that's 800,000 jobs added to the US economy. It came in a little bit under that, so a little bit disappointing. 661,000 new jobs added. Unemployment rate printed at 7.9%. That's courtesy of dropping the participation rate. So that's it now, though. As far as I'm aware, no more employment numbers in terms of non-farm payroll numbers until after the US presidential election. Unemployment rate slightly better than expected, actually, because consensus expectations were at 8.2. You've seen a drop in the hiring of government employees. Why has that happened? Well, the schools are still shut. Why is that? Because they've got coronavirus. What you're seeing is a sort of slowing momentum in jobs growth, though. So the April number was the big shock, down 20 million. Since then, we've seen numbers over a million sort of every month, and now that's dropping away. So they haven't replaced as many jobs. And, of course, this was all in the face of this, the news of the Trump diagnosis. And given the attitude of the president to the virus, there was an air of inevitability, wasn't there, that he would be exposed to it. So pre-open, this was all happening pre-open, we saw futures fall, the US share market futures fall. So US futures dropped about 1.5% for the Dow, similar on the S&P 500. NASDAQ futures fell about 2%. Lots of questions floating around, not a lot of answers. Oil futures fell a lot lower. But then in the US trading session, Mike, we actually saw those losses were tempered. So the Dow only down 0.5% in the end, S&P 500, a little bit more affected, down 1%. NASDAQ actually down 2.2%. That's because there are some perceptions that a Biden victory may impact more on some of these big tech companies. Currency is relatively stable, but boy, Mike, geez. Plenty going on.
Yes, there is. And then you've got all the questions that are unanswered at the moment, like what does it mean for the debates? What does it mean for the election? What about that economic stimulus package? I noticed Pelosi said all this changes the landscape. I mean, a lot of uncertainty.
Exactly. And markets tend to not like uncertainty. So first of all, the prospects of the move to stimulate the economy. Well, Trump was tweeting over the weekend that he still would like that to carry. I mean, the US political process doesn't stop. I mean, he would like to see that pushed through. Election implications, tricky one to call, Mike. I mean, financial markets are forward-looking, remember that. Certainly share markets are forward-looking. The US share market has already assessed the risk of a Biden victory, and I think the market's comfortable with the implications of that, given that Biden is comfortably ahead in the polls. If I look at the betting odds, Mike, over the weekend, it's always interesting to look at the betting odds. Sharp spike in favour of Biden over the weekend. They haven't been updated yet, but the betting odds are 61-38 in favour of Biden at the moment. You've also got to remember that those betting odds quite often get it wrong. If I think about Brexit, they're famously wrong there. But yeah, uncertainty, markets don't really like. It's a little bit grotesque, but the big issue here is how sick does Trump get and how quickly does he get better? I mean, will he get a sympathy boost from voters? Lots of talk over the weekend of the 25th Amendment as well, where a president can cede power to the VP. But look, it's going to be a fascinating week in front of us. Mike, can't wait.
Yeah, well, if he goes back to the White House tomorrow, that'll solve some of those problems, I guess. What are the numbers?
So the Dow Jones finished at 27,682, as I said, about 0.48% fall. S&P 500, 3,348, down 0.96%. And the NASDAQ closed 11,075, down 251 points, 2.22%. The FTSE 100 up 23, 5,902. The Nikkei, 23,029. It was down 155 points, 0.67%. Shanghai Composite still unchanged, still on holiday over there, 3,218. The ASX 200 lost 81 points on Friday, 5,791 was the close, down 1.39%. And we eked out a 10-point gain on Friday, 11,822. On the currencies, 0.6630 in the wholesale markets, the New Zealand dollar against the US, 0.9250 Aussie, 0.5659 euro, 0.5118 pounds, 69.77 yen. Gold, $1,899.84. And Brent crude, as I said, a little bit weaker, $39.27.
Have a good one, mate. We'll catch up tomorrow. Andrew Kelleher from JMI Wealth.